If I were to tell you this morning that what the world needs is less love, how would you feel about that? How would you feel if I told you this morning that we have way too much love going around in the world? I know that doesn't sound right, but that's actually the case. We have too much love. I'm glad that you've joined us on the program, and I hope that you'll stay so that you can hear the explanation of what I have to say. We have too much love going on in the world. Of course, as we'll see from God's Word, there are different kinds of love. And what I'm talking about this morning is people loving the wrong things that leads to problems in their life. And when people are loving the wrong things, we need less of that kind of love. I'm reminded of the old song that Jackie DeShannon sang back in 1965, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." Well, of course, she was talking about the right kind of love. But if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read a few verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read about some grievous and terrible times. And what causes that is the wrong kind of love. And so we actually need less love of that kind in the world today. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, writes, "But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, terrible times. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For of these are they that crept into houses and take away captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupt in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men, as theirs also came to be." We're talking about grievous times, Paul said, and we live in these days. Terrible times, grievous times. And look at the very top of the list, lovers of self and lovers of money. He goes on to talk about in verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So there's a lot of love going around, but it's the wrong kind, and we need less of it. So this morning on the program, I want to talk about that we need less love. First of all, we need less love of self. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, "Men shall be lovers of self." This is selfishness. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our health and our mind. We need to go to work. We need to go to school. We need to eat. We need to sleep. There are things that we do to care for ourselves and our family. We're to love our neighbor as ourself, Matthew 22:39. That is, we need to have a self-respect and a self-worth. But what we're talking about here is selfishness, which causes many troubles at home and in society, where we put ourselves in front of others and, more importantly, in front of God. We're number one. What I think and what I feel is most important. What I want to do is most important. And so I don't treat others properly, I don't ask God what He wants in my life. The first love that we need less of is less love of self. Jesus said that if we would come and follow Him, that we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. Luke 9:25, John 12:25. The Apostle Paul said that we are not to think more highly of self than we ought to think. Romans 12, verses 3 through 5. Galatians 6, verse 3. And we're to esteem others better than ourselves. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Selfishness causes a lot of problems. A lot of divorce in marriage is due to selfishness. A lot of murder and killing and hurting others and violence is due to selfishness. I don't want to stay in this marriage. I don't want to make it work. I don't want to love my neighbor, and so I'm going to kill him or do something to hurt him or harm him. Selfishness runs up debt. Selfishness causes abuse, sexual abuse and emotional abuse. Selfishness causes laziness. And we could just go on and on and on. Men shall be lovers of self. And so we need less of love of self. The second thing that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 are those that would be lovers of money. Lovers of money causes a lot of problems. It causes greed and injustice. People take bribes for money. People lie for money. People steal for money. They kill for money. They hurt other people for their love of money. And Jesus talked about those. And you can be very religious and still have this problem. When Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 16 and verse 14, we read, "And the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they scoffed at him." Wait a minute, the Pharisees, I thought they were Jewish religious people in the first century who claimed to love God and read the Old Testament and worship in the temple on the Sabbath day. Yeah. But you can be religious and still be a lover of money. And so Jesus rebuked them for that. We need less love of money. The love of money, Paul says, is a root of all kinds of evil. Like I said earlier, it causes a lot of problems. Greed, injustice, briberies, killing, stealing, cheating. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says in verse 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." We need to be loving God and His Word and the godly life. That needs to be a priority, not the love of money. "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out." The problem with the love of money is we just use it to often do bad things or accumulate things that we can't even take with us when we die. "We brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out, but having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, desires, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some, reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Just about every word in those last two verses is packed full of problems. But I want to notice, first of all, that Paul says the love of money, not money. Money itself is not a root of all kinds of evil. Money can be used in a good way, in a proper way, to serve the Lord and ourselves and others. But it's the love of money, greed. And you go back through that, and you'll notice several things. They that are minded to be rich, that's what our mind and goal is set on. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Abraham was rich, but he obeyed God. Job was rich, but he obeyed God. The rich young ruler allowed his riches to get in the way. But Joseph of Arimathea, he was a rich man, but he obeyed God. Riches themselves are not the problem. Money itself is not the problem. But they that are minded to be rich and the love of money, that's the problem. And Paul says temptation, snare, many, not a little, many foolish and hurtful lusts drown men in destruction and perdition. A root of all kinds of evil, which some having been led astray from the faith, we're talking about those who were faithful Christians are now led astray. We're not talking about just simply worldly people. They can have this problem too. But those who were in the faith, following the faith, and now they're led astray from that. So Christians can have that problem. And they've pierced themselves, there's your hurting, with many sorrows. Paul says many sorrows, all kinds of evil, many foolish and hurtful lusts. It's not going to be limited to just one little problem in your life or mine. And so he says a few verses later in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich. This is a charge. This is to be taken seriously. Them that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded. Pride gets in the way, boasting, arrogance. Nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good and that they be rich in good works. In other words, give it away. Use it to help others. That they be ready to distribute, share, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life, which is life indeed. Nothing wrong with having things. Nothing wrong with being rich. I said that earlier. But it's how you use your riches. But some have a love of money. And so it causes problems. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, we need to be mindful of the material world that we live in. Hebrews 13 verse 5, be free from the love of money. Content with such things as you have, for himself has said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. We need less love of money. Number three, we need less love of evil. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks about in verse 3, no lovers of good. Not loving what is good and right and truth and light, but loving evil, darkness. And it leads to a lot of problems. Turn with me to John chapter 3. We're going to read verse 19, John 3, 19. Jesus says, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. We don't want to come to the light of truth and good. We love the darkness. He's using that in a spiritual sense, although I would say that physically, a lot of people do their evil deeds at nighttime when things are dark, where you feel like you can get by with doing something. Peter talks about, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, some who love the hire of wrongdoing. They love the darkness. They love doing what is wrong. We need less of that kind of love. And that goes on all the time. Our jail system, our prison system is crammed full of men and women. Many of them are repeat offenders, go right back into it because they love the darkness, for their works are evil. They love hurting themselves and hurting others. They don't care about the consequences. They especially don't care about the eternal consequences, hell fire. But they love the darkness. It serves their purposes. It makes them feel good. It gives them power. It gives them money. It gives them some gratification. And they go out and engage in these things all the time. And that's why we have law. But we're seeing in our society today where law and upholding law and the rule of law that is slowly going down the drain, even by those who are in positions of leadership and authority, they are not helping this country to uphold law. They are helping this country violate law. And I'm talking about judges, mayors, governors, senators, congressmen, at the local level, the state level, the national level. And all it's going to do is increase the evil and the darkness in this nation. It's not going to help this nation get better. It's going to help this nation get worse. And we just need to come to grips that some people love the darkness. It's not something that's comfortable to talk about, but it's true. It's in this city. It's in our state. It's in our nation, and it's all around the world. And so we need to come to the light. But Jesus says, for everyone that does evil hates the light and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. These people don't want to be convicted and reproved. They don't want to stop what they're doing. So they do their deeds of darkness in darkness. And some of them actually do it right out in front of others because they don't care. They've become so hardened. And when they know that they're not going to be arrested for it or seriously punished for it, they just are more brazen. They do it right out in the open. There are some cities like New York City and other places that have gone to a no bail system. And so you don't have to post bail. You can just automatically walk in to the police precinct. A few minutes later, you walk right back out and you go back to engaging in your evil deeds. There's one man that is currently popular in New York City. He has been arrested over 140 times for violating various laws in the subway system in particular. Over 140 times in the past few years. He walks in. They talk with him. They don't do anything. He walks right back out. He does it again. And so these people just learn to love evil and darkness. We need less of that. Number four, we need less love of pleasure. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul talks about those who would be lovers of pleasure. This is not relaxing after work, reading a book or drinking a cup of coffee. The word pleasure here is from the Greek word from which we get the idea of hedonism. Hedone. It's found in Titus 3 verse 3, James 4, 1 through 3, 2 Peter 2, 13. This is sensual pleasure, carnal pleasure, wicked pleasure. Hedonism, where you throw restraint and law and control out the window and you become immoral and without standards and morality and discipline. It could be sexual immorality. It could be other kinds of immorality. Hedonism, that's the pleasure that is mentioned here. There's nothing wrong with engaging in relaxation and recreation, that type of pleasure. Hedonism is a profligate life that is not controlled by God's word. And you may recall that Jesus, in talking about the teaching the parable of the sower, and in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, they which fell among the thorns are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. It's the same word. When I'm engaged in sinful pleasures, God's word cannot have an effect in my life. It won't grow. It's like it's being choked out by cares and riches and pleasures of this life. We need less love of pleasure. So, love of self, love of money, love of evil, love of pleasure. All of these are mentioned right there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's just remember that Paul says that that's what is causing the terrible times, the difficult times, the grievous times. So we need less love of these things. But if we go other places in the New Testament, we can find, for example, some people love family more than Jesus, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. We're not to love our family more than Jesus. So we would need less love of family and more love for Jesus. We could turn over to John chapter 12 and verse 43 and find that some people love the glory or the praise that is of men more than of God. We need less love of the praise of men. And we see that today. People build each other up. God gets thrown off to the side. Man is the great person. Man is the almighty one. Man is the measure of all things. And we glory and praise each other, pat each other on the back, and we ignore God as if he doesn't even exist. And rather than glorifying God and praising him and following his word and obeying him, it's all about the greatness of men and women. You see it in Hollywood. You see it in movies and music, where man is the measure of all things. We are the height of all things in the universe. And as more and more people become secular and atheistic and agnostic and unbelieving, man gets elevated and God gets demoted and shoved off to the side and reduced to nothing. We need less love of the glory of men. Some people love the world more than they love God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas loved this present world or age and forsook Paul. Less love for the things of this life and more love for God. That would help us. Some people have the love of being first place over Jesus. They're number one. You may recall a man named Diotrephes in 3 John. The text says that he loves to have the preeminence among the church there. He didn't receive the apostles. He kicked other people out of the church. He was number one. And he loved to have that number one spot. Jesus, it's his church, by the way. He built it, Matthew 16:18. But some men come in, they're going to run the church. They're going to run it the way they want it. They're going to dictate and tell people what to do and not do. And Diotrephes, verse 10, cast some people out of the church. John says, imitate not that which is evil. Diotrephes was evil, but he loved to have the first place. We need less love for this preeminence and more love for Jesus. You see, friends, what we need today is less love. Less love for these things that cause heartache and problems in our lives and in the world around us. Friends, love for God should be greater than love for self. In the book of Revelation, Christians who were being persecuted were told they loved not their life even unto death. They were willing to go all the way to the point of death for serving God. We need to love God, and that love for God should be greater than money. As powerful and important as money is to many people, we should love God more. And we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus that is more valuable than gold or silver, 1 Peter 1:18-19. Love for God should be greater than any evil thing that we might feel like we could engage in. Evil might feel good. Evil might benefit us in some way. But love for God is better than all of that. Psalm 97, verse 10, O you that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints, and he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. If you love the Lord, hate evil. Love for God should be greater than the pleasures of this life. Solomon found that out. He wanted to engage in all kinds of pleasures and then realized at the end that fearing God and keeping his commandments is the whole of man, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Love for God should be greater than the world. So, what we need in many respects is less love. If we can help you to have less love for those wrong things and more love for God and Christ, let's get together and make that happen. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We encourage you to tune in next week, and we hope that you'll have a good day.